figure it out before you start again.
I don't want to figure it out, man. We'll do it live.
We're doing it live.
You're now listening to the Rookie Big Board Podcast Network.
Welcome into the bonus board. I'm your host, Matt Hicks, the FF Educator, and this week I am joined by Eric Adams. Eric, we are pulling a topic out of the Discord, as always. I can't even pinpoint one person for this topic because it was asked a lot. We're going to be talking about the effect of dynasty value based on rookies being added to teams. That was a poor way of describing, you know, the effect of veteran players as rookies enter into the team and how their dynasty value is affected. Before we do that, I want to make sure folks understand the concept here of the bonus board. It's only the second week of it. We pull a topic out of the patron Discord and just kind of have a unscripted kind of hangout type chat about it. So we haven't prepped anything. We're just going to kind of work through what we see here. But before we do that, I want to make sure folks know that they can gain access to the Rookie Big Board premium content, including access to that Discord, including our consensus dynasty rankings, which we'll be talking plenty about today, Devi rankings, and so much more. We just announced patron-only best ball leagues this year. We're going to be doing 5 or 6 of those. That's going to be really fantastic. You can get access to all that, just $3 a month at patreon.com/TheFFEducator. Now, Eric, before we jump into Dynasty Valley, I got to ask you an honest question. Did you listen to episode 1 of the bonus board with Anthony last week? You can be honest with me.
No, I did not.
You didn't do it. I didn't do it. I had a feeling, and I was actually hoping that you didn't, because there's a surprise in store here. So now, before we actually jump into the topic, every week we have to build out the actual bonus board, which is a topic that I pull out of thin air, typically moments before I begin recording, and I make you create a mini bonus board here of 5.
Oh, boy.
And so, knowing Eric, this is a two-parter. Knowing Eric, this would fall into Eric Adams' expertise, and this week is the DCL 3 rookie draft. And DCL 3, Eric, you know, is video game themed. So I have put together two bonus boards myself. And it is the 5 best councils, video game councils, not video games, not video game characters, video game councils. And so, Eric, I put together 2, the correct board and the board that I think you're going to build based on how I know you, right? So I want you to build out your board. I want to see how accurate I am. I'm going to ask you to work from 5 to 1. And then I'm going to tell you the correct board as well. And so, you know, this is how we like to start off. We like to have a little bit of fun. If you don't like to have fun, hit the 30-second forward button a couple times. But we're going to spend a couple minutes talking about this, Eric. So I think I've bought you enough time here. I'm going to ask you on the spot. I'm going to ask you to work from 5 to 1. What is the 5th best video game council?
We only got 20 minutes to do the show.
You know, whatever you want to call it. What's up?
We only got 20 minutes to do the show.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to ask you to work through them quickly here. I want little explanations so that I have more time to roast you for your answers.
All right, so if I'm quick firing, 5, I will put the good old PSP Go.
Okay.
4, I will put PS4.
Okay.
3, Xbox 360.
Okay.
2, Nintendo Switch. 1, N64.
Wow. That was a very poor job of me. I like to think I know Eric pretty well. We go back a long ways. I got a few on the list, but I did not get the order. I know you love the PSP. I thought the PSP was going to be your number one.
All right, look, I was just about to say, like, the PSP, the whole PSP family is basically 5 for me.
It counts as 1.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, number 1, I love the PSP, dude, but nah, not enough games. It was just my MLB The Show machine and some spare Silent Hill or 2. That was about it. But I do love it for MLB The Show and Madden. Oh my God, Madden was so fun on that little thing.
It's impressive if any video game console can work mobile. That's good. Okay, wait, so what did you say your 1 was?
N64.
N64. Yeah. I see. I don't know why, but I thought you were going to go newer. I thought you were going to give a shout out to the PS5. I highlighted the PS2 for you. I don't know. I thought you'd be into that.
Believe it or not, I think the PS2, this is not a good way to start my little debut here on the bonus board. I think the PS2 is a little overrated.
Oh boy.
When people look back on like the exclusive games for the PS2, there's not many of them. They were on all the other systems. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, it was fun. But I think the other systems got it beat.
All right. I did get the Switch right. I got the Switch in the correct spot too. So I had number two for Switch. I know you love the Switch. Yeah. All right. I'm going to give the correct answer here. It's not terribly different. I do feel like there were a couple snubs though. I slid in PS2 as my number five. It's kind of a representative for the PlayStation family because I am a PlayStation guy now. I didn't want to pick PS5, you know, pick the new one. I just, you know, you could just flex for having a PS5, I guess. Xbox 360 is my four. I mean, Halo 2, Xbox 360, you know, original Modern Warfare. That's just absolutely tremendous. Yeah. I'm going to go, this is so tough. Game Boy Color 3. You got to give a shout out to the Game Boy Color. You could do Game Boy Advance too, but I felt bad leaving off the Game Boy series. Number two is N64. I love N64, man. That's the classic Mario Party, Mario Kart. We could just do a Mario rankings here, and we wouldn't even have enough spots for five. Number one, man, it's the GameCube. I don't care what anybody says, man. The GameCube, it was just such a tremendous console. It was just this little square with the little tiny miniature games, and they had just, you know, one-upped everything from the N64. Like Double Dash is the best. Probably Double Dash is the game that I just absolutely love the most. I mean, you have the upgraded Mario parties. It's just, I'm very Nintendo heavy. I think we're both pretty Nintendo heavy.
I feel terrible leaving the GameCube off. Yeah, I feel real bad leaving the GameCube off my list.
It's personally insulting to me and my integrity.
Honestly, if you ask me the same question a week from now, I'll give you a different order.
That is
a tough question. It's better than I thought. You were about to ask me my top five favorite video games. I'm like, this is an impossible question.
I knew that wasn't going to happen. That was an impossible task. So I went with consoles.
Consoles better.
I thought that would throw you off a little bit. And all right, so that's a good rankings here. That's a fun approach to the board here. I really thought I'd do better. I thought I'd do better, but I didn't. But we had pretty similar lists here. Very Nintendo heavy. And, you know, a little bit of an ode to, like I said, DCL3, which is doing the rookie draft video game theme this week. Eric, I think we got to start off, man. I mean, the top dynasty guy that everybody seems to be honed in on and focused is AJ Brown, right? AJ Brown goes from Tennessee to Philly. It affects not only AJ Brown, it affects, of course, Devonta Smith in that offense as well. You know, I pulled A.J. Brown as a starter here, not only because folks are talking about him, because if you look at the Dynasty rankings, the Rookie Big Board crude consensus rankings, which are the folks from your show, the Dynasty show, yourself, Ryan, and Anthony, you currently have A.J. Brown ranked 10th in Dynasty. Ryan still has him at 5. Anthony still has him at 6, and he's the consensus number 8 because of that. So, you know, relative to those other two guys, tell me why you're lower on AJ Brown. Tell me what you're worried about with AJ Brown and that Philadelphia offense.
It's not even that the draft really dropped him for me. I just kind of kept him in the same spot. I don't feel any better about Jalen Hurts than I do with Ryan Tannehill. So the QB is a wash. I think Philly is a predominantly run team, but honestly, I'm not really married to the fact that they ran the ball a ton last year, even though they did do it really well. I just think they didn't have the personnel to throw the ball as much as they wanted to. I think 10 is fine. If you want to put him 5, that's fine. I know he's really young. He's 24, but my issue right now, if you can even call it that, with AJ Brown is the fact that he only has 1,000 yards, he's literally just 1,000, I think 75 is the most yards he's had in the season so far. I know the touchdowns are there. The touchdowns are great. That's fantastic. If AJ Brown wants to rise into my top five dynasty wide receivers, he's got to plug in at least 1,200 yards this year. And I'll tell you right now, the Eagles are going to be expecting 1,200 yards at least. When you pay a guy $25 million a year, that's the type of production you're going to expect out of him. 1,200 yards and at least 8 to 10 touchdowns. So for now, he's 10 for me, but If you want to have him higher, that's fine. I think we need to go over what we expect from AJ Brown. I know you have projections. I want to know what you projected out for AJ Brown.
Yeah, I was about to say, do you want to guess the number of yards that I have for AJ Brown projected right now? Because you're talking in the ballpark.
Yep. Let me get up the.
Don't pull up my projections.
No. I'm pulling up what Billy did last year. Do I have your projections?
I see people on the projection sheet right now. I guess that I thought that might have been you. It might have been one of the patrons. But yeah,
I'm on the rankings, not the projection sheet. But so Philly threw the ball 494 times last year. I'm going to guess that goes up to like at least 530. That's got to go up. That's way too low. 1150 and 8.
943, man. I'm taking a conservative approach. Still have Devonta Smith there, and they like to pass through the tight ends, man. Like, Dallas Goedert is not going away.
Yep.
I have 8 touchdowns, though, and I think he's going to lead the way in touchdowns, right? I think that's where A.J. Brown's going to be. But, man, I'm a little bit on your side. If I'm an A.J. Brown dynasty manager, I don't think I got helped at all through the draft. I think the best-case scenario is net neutral, right? And he's super talented. He's going to get his, but – you know, don't sleep on how talented and efficient Devonta Smith is either. So I think if anything, right, it's probably Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is probably the biggest winner from this offense because now he has the ability to potentially have a long career, right? Like, Jalen Hurts went from a guy who put together 4 games in his rookie season and we thought he was toast, survives his sophomore season, and now all of a sudden is throwing the ball to Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown. It's almost going to be hard for him to lose the job next year.
Yep.
Now, going from one side of the state of Pennsylvania to the other side of the state of Pennsylvania, you have Kenny Pickett plopped right into Pittsburgh. And we're not going to be talking about the dynasty value of Mitch Trubisky because that hasn't existed for a while. But I'm interested to hear what your thoughts are on, you know, Kenny Pickett going to Pittsburgh, in addition to George Pickens and Calvin Austin being added to a wide receiver room that we've been generally nice, you know, capital we here in terms of the dynasty community. We've been high on Chase Claypool in Deontay Johnson. You know, are you worried about either Johnson or Claypool from this point on?
Johnson, no, because he won't be a Steeler pass this season. And Johnson's the better player. I wanted to believe that Claypool was a better player, and I had Claypool higher going into last year. And he honestly, in the second year, he took a step back, which is not great. It's not that I don't believe him anymore. It's just Johnson's clearly a superior wide receiver at this moment in time. He's just a walking 100 catches and over 1,000 yards. I don't care about the drops. That's the stupidest thing anyone could ever bring up with stats. So Johnson doesn't really change for me. Claypool, you know, he definitely needs to do better this year. He 100% needs to do better this year. Pickett. Even though I didn't say many nice things about Pickett leading up to the draft, you got to believe he's still better than the corpse of Ben Roethlisberger. There's just no way. There's just no way he's worse than Ben Roethlisberger. My biggest problem in Pittsburgh right now is the fact that we're through free agency now. You could still sign guys to, you know, cancel out the compensatory picks. That's not the issue anymore. But through free agency and through the draft already, there's no O-line fix.
Yeah.
Their O-line is still bad.
Yeah,
I really, really don't like that when you have a rookie quarterback coming in. So this year, I mean, if you're expecting George Pickens to hit the ground running, if you're expecting Chase Claypool to have a real bounce back season, if you're expecting Deontay Johnson to ball out in his contract year, I would temper expectations just a little bit. We also don't know what this offense looks like with Kenny Pickett. Ben Roethlisberger, even though he was a corpse, had a robot right arm. They could just throw it like 700 times or however many absurd times they needed to, and it could work. They won't be doing that with Kenny Pickett, so we don't really know what this Pittsburgh offense is going to look like. The only person in Pittsburgh that I'm really hyped on is Najee Harris.
Hey, man. Yeah. You know we're already hype on Najee Harris. Let's stick on the wide receiver train, though. I mean, there was a pretty ridiculous trade, a big trade, day one of the NFL draft, right? It was Hollywood to Arizona. I think that maybe made a little bit more clarity after we learned about the DeAndre Hopkins news. So I'm interested to hear your thoughts dig in on both sides of this, right? Not only Hollywood going to Arizona, but, you know, what do we do with this Ravens offense? And Rashad Bateman just kind of looking around the room like the Will Smith GIF, right? As the only guy there. But, you know, starting with Hollywood, you have him 28th in your dynasty rankings, and you're splitting Anthony and Ryan. I mean, Ryan has him 19 and Anthony has him 36. So you're still valuing him as a mid wide receiver three. You feel, you know, that's where he generally should be.
I ranked him before DeAndre Hopkins got suspended.
So you give him a bump.
So he might, he's going to get a bump. He'll be in the top 24, but it'll likely only be like, what I have him 29.
You have him 28.
Yeah. I mean, I'll bump him up 4 spots. I'll respect.
So the guys you have directly in front of him are Brandon Cooks at 26, Allen Robinson at 27, Elijah Moore at 25. Do you feel like he should jump those guys?
Yeah, never mind. He's going to stay at 28 for me.
Right, sit right there. I mean, it's hard for me to get overly excited about Hollywood Brown. Like, I feel like we just know what he is.
Yeah. But I will say, I do like the fit more in Arizona than I do in Baltimore. He fit decently well in Baltimore, but the writing's on the wall in Baltimore, and he literally came out and said it, like, in this offense, I'm not going to get the stats that I want to be paid how I want. And he was not even doing bad in Baltimore. I think did he have 1,000 yards 1 year at least?
He had one good year. I mean, he struggled with injuries too. He struggled to stay on the field. I mean, are you buying into the Kyler connection at all? Like, do you think that, you know, college teammates, what, 4 years ago now, is really worth much?
Yeah, kind of, because I think I do feel like Kyler throws a better deep ball than Lamar.
Well, yeah, I think that's fair.
It is tough. I can't move him past 28, though, after you said to people
tough.
That.
It's a congested area of the rankings, right? It really is.
But if he wants those stats, that means he wants better than 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns. I mean, I don't know. Could I see him going above 1,000 yards? Could I see him getting close to like 1,200? Yeah, if Arizona really pops off like that, and I wouldn't be stunned if they did. But I don't know.
You know, They trade for Hollywood Brown. They draft Trey McBride. Are we out on Rondale Moore? Is he the biggest loser that folks aren't really honing in on?
Yeah. Rondale Moore is Andy Isabella 2.0.
Oh.
They just burnt. It hurts me the most, man. I was a very big Andy Isabella fan.
You were a big Andy Isabella. And I wasn't a Rondale Moore fan, but that feels mean.
Arizona just burns these second-round wide receiver picks like, oh, it didn't work. Oh, screw it. Let's go trade for a more established guy. That's literally how it's happened twice now. It's literally happened twice now. So, you know, yeah, unfortunately, I think Rondale is kind of dead in Dynasty. I think he needs to change the scenery, which is terrible because it's, what is it, second year? But maybe we're wrong. Maybe he'll be better this year. They re-signed AJ Green too, didn't they? They gave him one-year
sure
deal.
Did. Yeah.
That's a lot of clutter. They still have Zach Ertz. That's a lot of clutter in Arizona. So, yeah, unfortunately, Rondale took a nosedive a little bit.
So Bateman is sitting here in the consensus dynasty rankings at wide receiver 33. Amon-Ra St. Brown is 32. Darnell Mooney is 34. So he sandwiched this kind of run on young wide receivers. Do you feel like Bateman, that's where he should be? Do you feel like that's a fair evaluation? And what do you think his ceiling is? Because I think there's now this renewed sense that Rashad Bateman could hone in on all of these targets, but I feel like you have a good understanding of this Ravens offense, and it's just not going to happen, man. Right? Am I off on this?
Look, I think Bateman will have like a fine year, but like you said, the Ravens put the writing on the wall for us. They literally put the writing on the wall by trading their big deep threat number one wide receiver for a center. They literally went and drafted a center. They drafted the really big Falele in the fourth round. Yep. They drafted like two tight ends.
And Eric, how many wide receivers did they draft?
None. Literally none.
Zero.
They're expecting a lot out of if people think the Ravens like, no, they'll still throw a ton like they did. People are going to be like, all right, well, you're expecting a lot out of Tylan Wallace, Devin Duvernay, and James Prochet.
Who?
Exactly. Like I.
No. You said his name wrong. That's Devin Big Play Duvernay.
Okay, Big Play Duvernay. My apologies, number 13. But it is what it is with Baltimore. They're clearly going to run a lot, and when they don't, they will throw through the tight ends. And I think Bateman could have a fine season. I think he could push for 800 to 900 on a good year, but that's just the type of offense that Baltimore is going to play this year. They're just going to be ground and pound. And honestly, yeah, good. They should fortify that offensive line. They should look to run the ball. They are a very good running football team. So I approve of that. Go get Mark Andrews. Everyone stop being down on Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews is going to be an easy top five tight end this year.
Draft Charlie Kohler too.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Take a dart throw on Likely as well. Why not? I throw it in there.
And I don't think he's as likely to hit as Kohler, but you never know.
That was nice. I also am not, I'm not in lockstep with Likely being a tight end. I think it's unlikely he'll be a tight end.
Well,
possibly switch him over to a different position.
I'm going to ignore the fact that you copied my pun, but I will go off of your lockstep pun because there's one more offense that I want to evaluate, and that is going to be the Seattle offense. You know, I'm interested to see, a lot of parallels here, right? And a team that's telling us what they want. They drafted Charles Cross in the first round. They drafted Kenneth Walker at the top of the second round. They want to run the ball. We know this. This is the Seahawks offense. I mean, Pete Carroll has literally fired offensive coordinators for not wanting to run the ball. So where does that leave the one-time fantasy football dream of Noah Fant? It seems like he is just in no man's land.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough for me to gauge Seattle right now because I feel like they're not done. I just cannot. I'm sorry. I just cannot buy Drew Lock being the starting quarterback.
He's there, man. I don't know.
That's good. But until we figure out what's happening with Baker position? And Jimmy G, I will not buy that he's going to be the starting quarterback of that team. I think they will be one of the two teams that goes after that guy. And they're not going to trade for him. They're waiting for them to get released. And I think they will get released, especially maybe not Jimmy. I feel like Jimmy, there's an outside chance the Niners hold on to him. But Baker is not playing for the Browns this year. He's going to do everything he can to force his way out of that team. And I think the number one team to go to is Seattle. So, like, if Baker's there, I feel better about Noah Fant. If we're talking about Drew Lock, I mean, they literally were just on the same team in Denver. Not good. Just not about it. That really kills Noah Fant for me. I don't even know if I'll have him in my top 12. Yeah. It's been so rough for Noah Fant, dude. It's been so rough. I hate it because I really still believe in him. But the type of offense that's going to be, like you said, they'll look to establish the run now, especially with no Let Russ Cook campaign going. They're gonna try and establish the run. And when they don't establish the run, unless something happens to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, he's the third best target at best in Seattle. That doesn't bode well for us.
Eric, I remember back the 2019 NFL draft cycle, I believe was the first one that we really started like honing in on the draft cycle.
And 18 was our first, 2019, you're right, was like
the... Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we started to like 18 was like we're going to dip our toes. 19 was like we're starting to refine this process, you know. And 2021, 22 have been much different stories, but you know, I mentioned that to say we really like Dawson Knox in that draft class, right? But if you had told me post draft that in 3 years Dawson Knox would be our consensus dynasty wide receiver or dynasty tight end 7, and Noah Fant would be down here at 13, I would have thought you were absolutely insane. But that's where we're at. And that is, and I'm thrilled for Dawson Knox. I absolutely love it. But it is baffling to me that is where we are at. That Dawson Knox is, I think, consensus easily considered to be a higher ranked player right now than Noah Fant. That's how bad it has gotten for Noah Fant in so quickly.
I think a couple things. One, that says a lot about what happened to Josh Allen. Just him coming along that quickly helps Dawson Knox. I feel like Dawson Knox has played out exactly how we said it would play out. When he came out, we're like, he's a little raw, but
best case scenario.
Yeah, but like when he came out, we were like, he's a little raw, but like in a couple of years, it's gonna look really good. We feel like it'll look really good. It looks really good now. And yeah, no offense, just been a dead duck. Just been stuck in the water. It's unfortunate.
All right, man. That is our bonus board episode for this week. Again, pulled out of the patron Discord conversation. We like to kind of credit who came up with the idea, but I think like 7 people asked us for that. So it didn't feel right to just credit it to one person. I love these bonus board episodes. I love that I was able to throw Eric off here with the council rankings. I think Ryan's on deck. I think Foss is going to be with us next week. Listen, make sure you're subscribed to the Rookie Big Board Podcast Network. If you haven't already, please take 2 freaking seconds and just scroll down and leave us a 5-star review. We'd really appreciate that. And I'm telling you, if you're enjoying this content, if you're listening to the Rookie Big Board Podcast Network 5 times a week, as you all have the ability to, you have to head on over to patreon.com/theffeducator because you are the type of sicko that will benefit from our overly active, nonstop, won't stop blowing up my phone, and I mean that in the best possible way, Discord. So again, make sure you go ahead and check that out. And as always, we appreciate you checking out this episode of the Rookie Big Board.